God is in the house. Amen? Christ is risen. I'm going to start with a quote by Pastor Keith Burson. He writes, "Folks, last time I checked the records, the death ratio in America was still 100%. We don't all die when we're umpiring a baseball game. We don't all die while playing softball games. We don't all die when we're 100 years old. But we all die when we come face to face with one enemy against whom every person is completely powerless. Is it any wonder we look to our only source of hope, the resurrected Jesus? There's something about death that cuts through externals. Death reminds us of what really is important. The only thing that matters when you die is not the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, how many Grammys or Oscars you've won, how many dollars you've earned, how many birthdays you've celebrated, or what your real name is. The only thing that matters is Jesus and the resurrection." Amen? Christ is risen. Amen. So we're going to take a closer look at the resurrection text today. And Kathy was right, this is really good news. Amen? After the Sabbath, which is Saturday for the Jews, at the dawn of the first day, which is Sunday, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. This is the second earthquake in 2 days, right? When was the first one? When he died, right? There was an earthquake, and what happened to the curtain in the temple? Torn in two. It was 6 inches thick, and it was torn just like a piece of paper, okay? And that opened up God. It opened up the Holy of Holies. It opened up heaven for all of us when he died on the cross. Okay? Do you think maybe God was trying to make a statement with all these earthquakes? Right. Matthew Henry writes, "There was a great earthquake. When he died, the earth that received him shook for fear. Now that he arose, the earth that held him leaped for joy in his exaltation. The earthquake did, as it were, loose the bond of death and shake off the fetters of the grave and introduce the desire of all nations." Isn't that a great name for Jesus? The desire of all nations. It was the signal of Christ's victory. Notice was hereby given of it that when the heavens rejoice, the earth also might be glad. The kingdom of Christ, which was now to be set up, made the earth to quake and terribly shook it. Those who are sanctified, made holy by the Holy Spirit, and thereby raised to a spiritual life, while it is in the doing, find an earthquake in their own bosoms or hearts, as Paul, who trembled and was astonished. I love that. Have we felt a resurrection earthquake in our hearts? Something that turns the world upside down. This resurrection earthquake brings life and power. Anybody want a resurrection earthquake? We're serving them up today. Amen? And you remember in Ezekiel, the Lord says that we have hearts of stone, right? But He's going to give us hearts of flesh. And that's what the resurrection earthquake does. It breaks our hard hearts, our hearts of stone. And it gives us hearts of flesh. Amen? His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. This kind of astounds me because these were Roman soldiers, right? These guys conquered the entire world with a sword and a shield. These were not choir boys, okay? These were some of the meanest guys on the planet. And they tremble and shake. Spurgeon writes, "The angel said nothing as he rolled back the stone. He did not shake a sword at them or over them to fill them with terror. The presence of perfect purity, the presence of heavenly things, is a terror to ungodly men. May you and I be such that our very presence and company will cast a hush over it. It was even as though an angel shook his wings. They said of one good man when he spoke in common conversation, But there be about us enough of the heavenly to make the powers of evil quail before us. When people see us, do they notice we're different? They should, right? And what happens when they realize we're different? Man, they'll call you holy, right? And they're being convicted. And we don't even have to say anything. It's just the way we live. Fear not, quail. But I noticed that they did fear, although the angel said, fear not. Neither men nor angels can so speak as to silence fears and trembling hearts, but Jesus can. As we shall see further on, one word from his lips has infinitely more power than all the words of angels and saints. Amen? Do people act different in front of us now? Have you had that resurrection earthquake? Do people act different? Do they sense the holiness of God in our lives? Pastor, do people act differently around you when they know you're a pastor? Pastor Robin? Yes. Okay. Absolutely. There was an elderly woman who was visiting a church, and it was a rural church in the country in the Midwest. So she had to walk up the steps, and one of the really friendly ushers came and helped her up the steps, helped her into the sanctuary. And he said, well, where would you like to sit? And she said, I'd like to sit up front. And he whispered, you don't want to do that. The pastor's really boring. This is the kind of stuff we hear, right? That's, you know, no surprise for us. And she said, do you know who I am? And he said, no. And she said, I'm the pastor's mother. And he said, do you know who I am? And she said, no. And he said, good, and walked away. But hopefully people will see the holiness in our lives. Amen? You know, couldn't you just see your mom doing that, Mary? Okay. Pastor Robert? Okay. I could see you doing that, Mary. Okay. Oh, you'd be chasing them with your purse. Okay. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Those that seek Jesus have no reason to be afraid. The problem is many people aren't seeking Jesus today, and they fall victim to fear. There's a lot of fear in our world now, right? A lot of people walking around afraid. In the jails, we sing the song, Fear is a Liar. And isn't that the truth? Fear is a liar. If we are living in that relationship with Jesus, fear is cast out and drowned in His love and in the Holy Spirit. And we have nothing to fear. 1 John chapter 4, John writes, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The angel goes on to say that Jesus fulfilled his word and risen from the dead, just as he promised. Does Jesus ever lie? Did he ever lie? No. Has he been truthful to us in our life? Has he ever done something to hurt us? No. He's always faithful, right? Spurgeon says, as he said, a few words, but what a world of meaning. As he said. He always does as he said. He always gives as he said. He always reveals himself as he said, not otherwise. He never fails to fulfill a promise or forgets even the mode of promising. Not only does he do what he said, but as he said, he is risen just as he said. Amen? So can we trust the word of God? Absolutely, because it's the words of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? We can trust everything that Jesus taught and said. Why? Because he rose from the dead, right? He's the only man in history to rise from the dead. So everything he said, we can believe. Everything in the Bible, we can believe because he said it, right? And he's the one who said, I'm going to rise from the dead after 3 days. He foretold he was going to get crucified and killed brutally, but he said, in 3 days I'm going to rise, and he did. Can you believe in somebody like that? Absolutely. There was a tribesman who lived in North Africa, and they have all kinds of evangelists, and the Muslims try to evangelize in North Africa also. And this one tribesman became a Christian. So the missionary said, well, why did you become a Christian? You know, things could have been easier for you if you became a Muslim. And he said, well, if I'm going on a journey to a place I don't know, I want to have a guide who's been there. Jesus is the only one who's been to death, right? People have all this mystery, you know, what happens after death? We know what happens after death, right? Jesus tells us there's a heaven and a hell. And if we live in a relationship with Him, it's all good. It's heaven, right? And how does He know? He's been there. He's been there. We can take confidence in that, right? And don't listen to what the media and the garbage say about, oh, it's a myth and you can't depend on the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It's true, and it's always been proven more true than any other source. Amen? Then go quickly and tell His disciples, He has risen from the dead, is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell His disciples. And I love this picture because it's kind of blown up, but when you see it, they're running, okay? They're running. They want to share the good news. So they obey, and they're running to tell the disciples. They're excited. Are we excited about Jesus? He is risen. And don't you love new Christians? They're so excited about Jesus, right? We baptized little Tamara last week. I think she's 8 years old or something. But anyway, I put her under the water, and she came, and the water was cold. But she came up, and she just had this big smile, and she said, I've been baptized! That's what we need to have, is that kind of excitement, right? I've been baptized, right? I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? So church, wake up. There's a resurrection earthquake. And it's waiting, and it's here. Participate in it. The resurrection earthquake shakes up our life, but then it shakes up the lives of people around us. Amen? Christ is risen. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, He said. They came to Him and clasped His feet and worshipped. Can you imagine the joy the women felt? Overwhelming joy. So they fall at His feet and they worship Him. How do we respond to Jesus as the living God in our daily lives? Do we fall down and worship Him? Or do we go back to worshiping ourselves? We all struggle with that, right? We want to serve Jesus and worship Him, but the self gets in the way. We all need a resurrection earthquake, amen? But do we live hanging on to Him and worshiping Him? Spurgeon describes it. He says, Jesus permits these godly women to hold Him by the feet. It was an act of humility, worshiping and holding not His hands, but His feet. And beloved, whenever you get your Lord Jesus near to you, do not let Him go for a little trifle. Be jealous lest you lose Him when you have realized the joy, the rich delight of having Him in your soul. You feel at such time as that if you scarcely dared to breathe. And you are so particular about your conduct that you would not venture to put one foot before the other without consulting Him, lest even inadvertently you should cause Him grief. Bow thus at His feet. Be humble. Hold Him by the feet. Be bold. Be affectionate. Grasp Him, for though He is your God, He is also your brother, bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. I don't know how many times over the years I've told the inmates in Durango or Towers, wherever they're at, Estrella, Penn City, you need to hang on to Jesus for all your worth. I don't know if any of you have been in the jail. You need to hang on to Jesus when you're in there for all your worth. And then I tell him, I said, you think it's bad now? When you get out, you have to hang on to Jesus even more. Because it's tough. I was talking with a former inmate in the last couple weeks, and he said he was walking by a QT and he asked for a cigarette. A guy called him over to his car and instead of giving him a hit off a pipe. That's how it is, folks. You look at the bus system, those are moving pharmacies, okay? We need to hang on to Jesus for all we're worth. For all we're worth. Believe me, we need to hang on to Him. And that doesn't just go for addicts. Last year, Pastor Robin and I found out she had cancer. We had to hang on to Jesus. Amen? And when you do hang on to Jesus, let's go to the next one. I don't think the picture's there. Okay. We'll get to it. When I get to it, let me know. Okay? Okay. Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee where they will see me. Jesus calms their fears. And then he gives them a mission. He says, go and tell. The message hasn't changed in 2,000 years. Go and tell. Right? It's not that complicated, folks. Jesus provides the earthquake that changes our hearts and gives us a heart of flesh. And then He gives us the Holy Spirit to tell other people about it. You don't have to die in order to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Resurrection life starts here and now. And I know many of you have started it. I see many folks here from Mosaic. You guys have started it already. It's a new life. It's a new life. And hang on to it for all your work, because it only gets better. It only gets better. Pastor Cuthbertson writes, don't equate the resurrection with something that takes place after you're dead. I want you to equate it with something that happens right now in your life. The resurrection deals with the here and now. Ephesians 1:18 to 23. That's your homework. Read that. Ephesians 1:18 to 23. Paul writes that the power that brought Christ out of the tomb, the Bible says that the power that allowed Christ to defeat death, the Bible says that the power that enabled Christ to defeat sin, the Bible says that the power that enabled Christ to defeat Satan, that same power is in us. We have the same resurrection power once we become an immersed believer. God equips us with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says that you will be given power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Can someone say amen? My friends, this power is real. My goodness, how many times have we seen it, pastors? Seen lives changed. Completely destroyed by drugs or alcohol. Completely changed. Praise God. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This power is in you and me. This power enables us to do God's will in our daily lives. So remember that death has to do with what gets us into heaven. But the resurrection power is something that's inside of us right now. And we have to understand that Jesus coming out of the tomb, it's not just a historic event. It has to be something that's personal to you. It's a daily thing. It's the power of the resurrection. Through the Holy Spirit of God that lives in us, that makes it possible for us to live the way God wants us to live. Recently, I've heard from more than one person who are former heroin addicts, and some of them have been in prison many times, and they'll say, the only way to stay clean and to beat heroin is Jesus Christ. They said, the only people we know that have made it are those who cling to Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. And that's the truth with any drug or alcohol. Only Jesus Christ saves. And He can save us from all things, because Him who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. He is greater than meth. He is greater than heroin. He's greater than marijuana. He's greater than alcohol. He's greater than all things in the world. Him who lives in us. Amen? Pastor Robin is great in the jails, and she'll say, you just need to know one word, and that's Jesus. And when you're tempted and you're out on the streets and somebody offers you that pipe, you just say, Jesus. That's all you need to say. There's power in that name. Amen? Power to rise from the dead and to give us new life. Amen? And we don't have to die to receive that. And this is, we know what life in the world is. This is the life Jesus wants for us. In John 10, I love this. It's almost my theme verse when I'm in the jails. Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's God's plan for us, is that we have life. Go to the next picture. Michael, there you go. Leave that there. That's God's plan for us, okay? That's His plan. So guess what happens? Oh, we got a different plan. I want to be controlled. I know what I'm doing, okay? And this is what God offers us. The resurrection and the life. This is what He offers us. And what do we settle for? Garbage. Garbage, yeah. Was that picture up there?
No.
Okay. Some of the garbage, believe me, 33 years ago I quit drinking, and the garbage I settled for before this is really garbage. Peter says that the dog returns to its vomit. That's what we're talking about, folks. Okay? And this is what God offers us. And it's real. I've seen the changes in people. It's real. And as long as you hang on to Jesus, nothing can shake you. Nothing in heaven or earth can shake you as long as we hang on to Jesus Christ and hold on for all you're worth. Amen? So who wants a resurrection earthquake? Amen.